And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. God's promise to Abraham must have seemed strange, you know. The age the man was, nearly 100, and the Lord promised him a son. Indeed, promised him descendants. Having lived all those years with no family, promised him descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky above. I wonder what was going through Abraham's mind. Of course, God keeps his word. God kept his promise. In spite of all the human and physical, how would you say, what almost seemed impossible. I mean, Sarah in her 90s. What seems impossible with men, of course, everything's possible with God. What must have been going through his mind? Whenever, not only did God keep the promise and give him the son, but then when the lad gets about 12 years of age, and God says, I want you to take your son, put him in an altar and offer him up as a sacrifice. What was going through Abraham's mind? You put yourself in his shoes. What would you be thinking? After all the years we've waited to have the child, now you want me to give him up as a sacrifice? This surely was a momentous occasion, having lived so long. And then God puts this proposition. Now, it's understandable Abraham calling the lad Isaac. You know the name means laughter. Because after all those years of waiting on a family, there was joy in the man's heart that his one great desire had been granted. But now this. But you know, the strength of Abraham's character is really brought to the fore in this incident, where he's called to take Isaac and offer him up as that sacrifice. If we were to listen to the voice of human reason, that voice may well have said, well, if you slay your son, how then can God keep his promise that your seed will be as the stars of heaven for multitude? How will you face Sarah when you go back home if you have to tell her you just killed the boy that you waited so long for? What would she think? Or what will your neighbors say? You're such a holy man and you murdered your own son. And these things must have been going through Abraham's mind. If they did enter his mind, and maybe other questions along with them, Abraham had an answer. He had one answer for all the questions. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Or the Lord will see to it. It can also be translated that way. This is not something we can just gloss over, beloved. And it's something we must give heed to. This is a statement of the profoundest faith, like nothing we've ever seen. Despite all the possible outcomes to this scenario, Abraham is firm in his resolve. God had the situation under control. Totally. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see, or will see to it. The English word provide actually comes from the Latin. It gives us the word see. Here, it just means that for God to see or to see to it is for God to provide. Our Father in heaven sees our need, your need, whatever need that is. Spiritual need, physical, material, whatever the need is, God knows all about it. And God is on oath that he will provide that need. Now, Scripture does promise, my God shall supply all your need, not all your greed. But our Father in heaven sees our need and in love prepares to provide it. And I can't help but think that the truth about God's ability to provide must have been the ruling thought in Abram's mind. As he left home, made that 3-day trek to Moriah at God's bidding, irrespective of how unlikely it may have appeared. Abraham nevertheless believed that God would step in. A 3-day trek. He had plenty of time to think this thing over. And we might say, but surely he must have wondered where was God when he had to go so far as to have the wood actually laid on the altar, and young Isaac bound with ropes and laid on top of the wood. Well, there's still no sign of the promised lamb. And then Isaac, well, there he is. He's got to the stage where all he has to do is bring the knife down. Yet never once does Abraham say, but Lord. Still no sign of the lamb. And the knife has to, I haven't got a knife. But imagine, he has everything in order. And he brings the knife out. And all he has to do is flex the muscles and bring that knife down. And slay his son. And only in that nick of time did the angel of the Lord call out. You talk about waiting till your back is against the wall. In the very nick of time, God spoke and showed Abraham the ram. You know what's totally amazing in this matter is that right up to the last second, this same thought was firmly held in Abraham's mind. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Even when he has the knife out, he's still thinking the Lord will provide. I wonder, would your faith hold out like that? Doubt of mine would. If there was any hint of doubt or mistrust, it was quieted by this wonderful assurance. The Lord will provide. God will see to it. You talk about faith, about trust. This man's faith is such, it's almost scary. I don't know about your faith. I doubt if I could have gone through what Abraham did. You know, people criticize Abraham for other mistakes he made in his life, but how many of us would really be fit to tie his shoelaces? Well, what does it teach us? Doesn't it show plainly that if we are brought into some great need while we've been following the Lord's commands, he will see to it that any loss is recompensed. Indeed, in this instance, there was no loss whatever. But it shows that if our difficulties multiply so that our backs are brought to the wall, Jehovah will see to it that a way is opened for us to go through. And you notice here too that Abram never once said to himself or to anyone else, I did it. He doesn't congratulate himself on the faith he has demonstrated, but he says, praise the Lord. He promised and he provided. Jehovah Jireh. He gives God all the glory. What can we learn from this remarkable incident? A few things that I trust the Lord will use to encourage our hearts. Notice firstly here the timing of this provision. You may have tried to picture Abraham with that knife in his hand. He's there because that's where God called him to be. Now remember, he has left home 3 days earlier. He has made that long trek with his son. With this thought in mind, God wants me to offer up my son. He's there because that's where God calls him to be. He's doing what he's doing because that's what God calls him to do. In his mind, he's holding on to God's promise that he will provide himself a lamb. Yet, Abraham is now at the point of driving that blade into his own son. But at that moment, the angel of the Lord not only stopped him harming the boy, But he bid him look behind him. And there in the bush was the ram caught by its horns. Now, if it had been in front of him, Abraham might have argued, well, Lord, would that ram not do instead of Isaac? Could I not kill that? But that would have meant not going through with God's plan for him. You see, we're not always asked to understand God's leading in our lives. Just trust him. That's easier said sometimes than done. Verse 1 says that God did tempt Abraham. Well, this wasn't temptation as we understand it. It was just a test. He saw it here. He saw that Abraham rejoiced. Indeed, in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus was addressing an assembly of people on the Mount of Olives. And he said that he made the remark there in John 8:56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He saw it here when the angel showed him the ram in the bush. But you can't help but notice here, the timing was everything. God interposed not only when the death of Isaac was imminent, but at the point where Abraham's anxiety must have been at its peak. Yes, he was a man of faith. What marvelous faith he must have had to do what it was totally against human nature. And indeed, to take matters to the absolute extreme. Yes, he believed God, but don't think he wasn't anxious about what he was doing. God's call came just in the nick of time. But then, isn't it so that God's not in a hurry, but he's never late? When disaster was about, seconds away, God stepped in. You ever been there? You ever been in a situation where your back was to the wall? You just didn't know where to turn next? But the Lord stepped in. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see to it. He'll not allow anything to come your way that doesn't tie in with his will for you. Isn't life an education? And following the Lord, allowing him to be your teacher, is an education. And it's always a mistake to rebel against the teacher. Timing here was everything. And isn't it so? Isn't timing, wasn't it at that time when we were yet sinners that Christ died for us? When the law had bound us and given us over to death? In time, in God's time, he stepped in. Christ took our place. And the relief from the penalty of sin must surely thrill your soul. Just as the soul of Abraham was thrilled when he saw that ram. His son's life was spared. His own anxiety was dispelled. The Lord had provided. Are you glad, beloved, the Lord has provided for you just in time? You ever think where you might have been if the Lord hadn't intervened in your life when he did? Notice secondly here the technique in this provision. The provision of this ram, nothing whatever to do with any ingenuity on the part of Abraham. When he climbed that hill with Isaac, and the wood, and the fire, or the firebrand, he didn't pray, Lord, will you send along a stray ram so that I can sacrifice it instead of Isaac? Such a thought doesn't seem to have entered his head. But when you think of it, was it ever in our minds to ask God for a Savior? Remember those days whenever you lived for the things of the world, you wandered in sin. Did you ever think to stop and say, Lord, is there a Savior? Is there one who could save me from sin? Wasn't in our thinking, was it? I mean, if the Lord hadn't opened our eyes, to see the lamb slain in Calvary. We'd still be on the broad road, if not in hell already. Such a thought wouldn't have entered our minds. You know, it's, when you think of it, how many people out there today still live with no thought, no concern as to where they'll be in eternity. I often wonder what goes through people's minds. Don't know if you ever watched that 1% Club. It's on ITV on a Saturday night. It's some very taxing. It's a simple quiz. And the questions, you don't need to be skilled. It's a matter of looking at answers, and the answer is usually in front of you. But it's one of those things that gets the brain working. You need to watch it. It's very hard to describe. Anyway, there was a fellow in the audience last night, an Ulster man. And he was asked what he would do if he won the prize money. He said he would use the money to buy a Batman suit so that he could wear it in his coffin. Sometimes wonder what makes people tick. There's a multitude of people out there, and they just live for today. They do their own thing. They don't, as far as they're concerned, they don't do anybody any harm. They seem to have this fanciful notion that whenever you die, and you'll go off to some place where you can take all your sin and amusement with you, and everything will be hunky dory. Shows how the devil has people blinded. This Bible teaches we're born in sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And death, for the unconverted, means banishment from the presence of God in that place the Bible calls hell. I can't begin to imagine what it must be like to die without a Saviour. But multitudes out there, and it's happening every day, they don't care. They don't want to be disturbed. We stood in need. If you're saved today, thank God your eyes are ever opened. We stood in need. But God saw that need and provided for that need, even when we weren't aware of it. The need was provided before we were even born. We've all learned now about the substitute. But again, would any of us ever have thought to ask God for a substitute? Aren't the multitudes prepared to just to die the way they are? It's as if they had no soul. It would never have occurred to us that an offended God would bear the penalty of our sin himself for our offences against him. The great problem today is that men and women don't seem to be even aware that they have offended their Creator. There's no fear of God anymore. People just live as if God doesn't matter. Multitudes do what they think's right in their own eyes. Someone penned the wee verse, "Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little is understood of his suffering so intense. Angels have no perfect sense." Is there not a continual sense of lament, beloved, that we are so little affected by the matchless grace of God, that he should provide a substitute as he has done in the form of his own son? This is not new for the believer. David said in Psalm 139 verse 6, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. The well-pleasing Son of God is made a curse for those who ought to have been accursed forever. The Prince of Glory is become the Man of Sorrows. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor." But this is what the text says. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. When you think of it, What was there on earth that could ever be offered as a sacrifice that would really and truly satisfy divine justice? Everything in this earth is tainted by sin. Well, we know that in Old Testament times animals were slain and their blood was shed as sacrifices for the sins of the people, but it wasn't that blood. It wasn't the blood of the animals that took away the sin. But God saw in those exercises that the people's faith was in the great sacrifice that God would one day provide. That is, by the faith, they looked forward to the day when Christ would shed his blood. Just in the same manner we look backwards to that day when Christ shed his blood for our sins. Hebrews 10:4 says, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Psalm 49:6-7, they that trust in their wealth, boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. If adequate provision is to be made for effectual redemption, it has to be made by God himself. And this is what causes us to marvel. Justice would cry out, lay the penalty on the criminal. But Christ steps forward from his throne and volunteers to take our place. And it's here that words fail us. So where does this leave the believer? It leaves us with nothing to do. God has provided. Therefore, let us not interfere with his provision. Nothing we can do will improve on the substitute that has been offered. And this is where the false religions of this world make such fatal error. They try to add to the work of Christ by throwing in their tuppence worth of good works, of abstinence, of self-denial and so on, like giving up certain things for Lent and all this sort of nonsense. Trying to claim merit by acts of penance and the like. But where the penitent is concerned, all is already provided for him. Jehovah Jireh. His was a complete sacrifice and has procured for us a complete salvation, a complete pardon for sin. And praise God for his finished work. Notice thirdly here the triumph in this provision. Isaac didn't die on that altar. The laughter of Abraham's house wasn't stifled. There was no grief for the patriarch. Rather, he went back home with his son in happy companionship. Why? Because Jehovah had provided himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And you notice that when the lamb died, that was enough. Isaac didn't have to die as well as the lamb. One sacrifice was sufficient. And this is our comfort in the death of Christ, because he died for our sins, we don't have to die for them as well. All we can do is cast our sins upon him, and they are dealt with there. Imagine the relief this must have been to Isaac, to know that because the lamb died, he didn't have to. His steps must have been very light on the way back home. Bless God, no knife can touch you now if you're in Christ. No fire can consume the believer because the Lamb has borne it all for you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And do you think he will lose even one of those for whom he died? Does it ever cross your mind that somehow he let you slip through his fingers after having died to secure eternal life for you? Do Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Thank God, he that believeth on him hath everlasting life. The great principle upon which our security rests is the righteousness of God, which assures us that he will not punish the substitute and then punish the one for whom the substitute has endured the penalty. Be a matter of great injustice if a sinner were called upon to make atonement for sin when one has already made that offering for him. If, as a child of God, you've any doubts about your salvation, then, beloved, get a hold of this truth. Sin can't be on you and on your substitute at the same time, either one or the other. So if Jesus bore the wrath of God for me, for you, then that means you go free. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord has provided a great effectual redemption for those, all those who trust him. Here is a provision that guarantees all other provision. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Look at verses 15 to 17 here of Genesis 22. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time. Now the first time was when he told him not to harm Isaac. Now the angel comes again and he says, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and so on. God is on oath here to provide everything. Everything that his child needs. And God cannot swear by any greater than himself. What will he provide for you as a believer? Everything you need. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now it doesn't say out of his riches, but according to his riches. No matter how much the Lord blesses you, he's never anything the poorer for it. In the Greek original, it really means far above and beyond expectation. Above measure, more excellent, given charitably. And where is the need met? In the mount. Maybe you're in some valley today because of some need, some circumstances arisen in your life. Maybe you need to turn around and look to the mount. Where did Abraham find the ram? It was behind him. Does that mean he was looking in the wrong direction? No, it doesn't. The Lord kept it behind him just to test his faith. He was doing exactly what the Lord asked him to do. Right up to the point where he was about to bring the knife down. And then the Lord showed him the blessing was right there. Can you imagine the grief to Abraham if he had slain Isaac? Yes, he was obeying God. But wouldn't losing Isaac have caused him much pain? But when he looked behind him, he saw what the Lord was really doing. In other words, when he was in the right place with the Lord, God met his need. Jehovah Jireh. Isaiah 30. 20 and 21 reads, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, the water of affliction, Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. What's it telling us? Doesn't it show that the pathway to blessing is the path that is marked by simple obedience to God's word? To obey, Scripture says, is better than sacrifice. Where does this find you today as a child of God? Has the Lord called you to do something that doesn't seem natural? Are you in a position where your back's to the wall? Claim the promise. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. You know, it's a big problem amongst God's people today that they find it hard to trust the Lord when they're in difficulties. Oh, it's easy when things are going well, isn't it? It's easy to say, I love the Lord when the sun's shining. But then the clouds gather and the difficulties come. And we think, oh, the Lord must have left me. Maybe he's just testing to see how much you'll trust him. I mean, who was ever put to a greater test than this man Abraham in this situation? Right up to the last second. But the Lord didn't fail him, did he? And he'll not fail you, whatever your circumstances. He cannot fail. He's working his purpose out. Oh, for the spirit of perfect surrender. That's easy said, isn't it? It'd be another thing to practice it. And it doesn't make it any easier for the preacher than it does for you. Oh, that we might learn the art of surrender and come to experience God is as good as his word. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Are you worried about the future? About the state of the land? Are you wondering where things are headed? Certainly things would, circumstances would point to our Saviour's near return. We're amazed sometimes at how low mankind can sink, and we wonder just how much further can this land of ours. I mean, when you think of how blessed Ulster has been with gospel preaching down through the years, and to see the things that are going on and what's being allowed in schools these days, it's unbelievable. If they'd told us 10 years ago we'd be seeing these things, we'd say, oh, you're mad. That'll never happen. But there are things happening. You have your gender issues, your abortion clinics. We've got it all here in this province. Who would have believed it? And well, it's having its effect on God's people. And some are losing heart. Some are giving up hope. Some are thinking, now the church has failed. And so they stop coming to the prayer times. Now let somebody ask you, and they're losing out to the Lord, and they're sentencing themselves to disappointment. But all the while, the promises of God are there to be claimed. Whatever the need is, and this nation needs revival. Do we believe it? Will we live for it? Will we pray for it? Will we cry to God for it? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see to it. The Lord encourage our hearts to press on in the battle and look up, because our redemption is drawing nigh. Pray the Lord to reinvigorate your own soul, give you fresh desires after him, a fresh burden for those who are in danger of perishing in their sin. pray the Lord come and do a new thing. Turn this nation of ours upside down for God and for His glory. May the Lord bless these few thoughts today. Let's turn in closing, please.